Well, hello again, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in today on our study, our Bible study, and getting into God's Word to find out what our Lord has to say about things and what He says and what the truth of the matter is. You got to have a final authority. Everybody has a final authority. In your life, there's something or somebody in your life that gets the last say. And you got to decide. The thing about it is you get to decide who that is or what that is. Some people think it's a little statue, that's a ceramic statue that you buy and put up on the shelf, and that's the final authority. And if you happen to knock him over and break him, you can go down to the store and buy another one and put him up there. Some people think it's the God of creation or the God of the Bible is their final authority. The Bible says that the Word of God ought to be our final authority. Now you're clean through the words which I have spoken unto you, the Lord said. The Word of God ought to be the Christian's final authority on everything, on faith and what he practices, and why he behaves the way he behaves, why he thinks the way he thinks, why he has the doctrines that believes in the doctrines that he believes in or she believes in. Your final authority. Everybody's got one. Mine is the book. Mine is the Word of God. God gets the last say in my life and in my decisions and in everything and anything that has to do with my life. He gets the final say. And you should make him your final authority also if you haven't already, because he's a good one. He is the one that we should have. Okay, I forgot to give you the scriptures last time. That's just the way the snow blows. But let me go ahead and give them to you now, okay? Has to do with the last bit of the good characteristics that we did in the study why on our last recording. And here they are. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through 19. And then we had John chapter 11. Verse 33 through 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50. And then we had Luke chapter 17, verse 10 through 19. And then Psalms chapter 126, verse 1 through 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Job chapter 20, verse 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 42. John chapter 3, verse 30. And John chapter 7, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 10 through 25. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 through 18. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Had a lot of scripture, didn't we? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. James chapter 1, verse 5. And the last one was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wonderful verse, wonderful promise, that everything that we do for the Lord is that's Christ-centered, that we sincerely do in our lives and do for the Lord's purpose and from our affections, and we're affectionate and Christ-centered. It's not vanity. The Lord's taken note of it. And even if it don't feel like the Lord's taken note of it and feels like the Lord's a million miles away, we still trust God's word. That's the whole reason the Lord gave it to us, and we live by faith. We trust God's word because he said so, and that's what we trust. And we're going to trust it to the end because it's right and it's true and it's faithful. And it says that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Tell me another prophet or a big prophet or a big God like Muhammad or some of these other rascals that are supposed to be top dog somewhere and everything else. Tell me one of them that makes promises like that. I don't recall any of them making promises to anybody saying that your labor is not in vain, and that leaves us the promises that our God does. And we have a wonderful God. We sure do. He's wonderful whether we have him or not, but it's even more wonderful that we have him, isn't it? Or that he would have us. The Bible says that he's not ashamed to be our God. And I'm glad of that. That makes me feel a lot more affectionate toward him because he's not ashamed to be my God, because rightfully so, he should be ashamed to be my God because of what I am and who I am, a sinner. But he saved me, he cleansed me, he changed me, he regenerated me, he adopted me, and I'm his, and I'm clean before his sight, and the Lord Jesus Christ done that for me. And just by believing on Jesus' name, the Bible says that the Lord has given me eternal life, and he gives me God the Holy Ghost that's dwelling in me to keep me and to comfort me, and has sealed me until the day of redemption, and then promised me that when I leave this vile body and leave all this fallen earth, this earth that's just, I don't know how people say things are getting better and better and better. They must just be blind as a bat, man. You look around and entropy's everywhere. I mean, everything's wearing out. Everything wears out, doesn't it? Have you ever bought anything that got better? No, you had to go buy it again, didn't you? Go get your hair done, ladies. Does it stay that way and get better and better and better? No, by the time you get out of rolling around in that bed and sleeping all night and get up, do it all over again, don't you? It's the same. Things wear out. We wear out. Sin bringeth forth death. It sure does. So let's get into our new this study here today. We're going to change gears just a little bit. Instead of talking about the good characteristics of yearnings and affections, we're going to talk about some evil characteristics of yearnings or affections in the Bible and what God says about these things. Evil affections. You say, can we have them? Sure we can. You know that we can. Evil affections. Well, what are some of them? The characteristics of them. How would we recognize them? How would we know them? How would we? The Bible says for us to put away those things. And we're going to learn a lot about that today. And what God says is evil characteristics of affections and what we ought to do about it. And we're going to mind him, and we're going to do the very best that we can and ask for his help, aren't we? Yes, we are, because we want to be everything that we can be for the Lord and more. We want to be good servants, required of a servant that to be found faithful, right? Okay, so first thing is, evil affections can be unnatural. Unnatural. Now, if you remember in our prior studies, when on the good characteristics of yearnings, there was one that said good affections can be natural. And there's a difference. This is polarities. You see it? Good affections are natural, and evil affections can be unnatural. Well, where does it say that, Brother Thurman? Well, in the Bible, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Let's begin with that. And verse 18 through 32, the Bible says, For the wrath of God. Now you think just a minute. The wrath of God. Think about, have you ever been scared of God? David said that he was scared of God one time. I mean, David feared God, but he said he was scared of God one day. Remember that? Whenever he killed that man for reaching back and touching the ark, David said he was scared of God that day. He feared him that day. He's scared of him. For the wrath of God. Now, when we're talking about the wrath of God, we're not talking about the neighbor getting mad at you and throwing rocks at you. We're talking about the wrath of God. The one that made you, the one that made everything, the things that we cannot see, the one that made that, the one that speaks his word and it comes to pass. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. We can see invisible things, being understood by the things that are made. When we look at the things that we can see, we can observe the things that we cannot see. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, let's take the wind, for instance. When the wind comes by, you can't see the wind. You don't know what direction it's going in. The Lord Jesus told us about that. It comes and it hits you on the side of the face. It goes through or by, and you see it, you hear it swoosh away, but you can't tell where it went. But you know it was there by what you felt. Also, you can know because it gives evidence of itself. It picks up the leaves. You can see the leaves. And when it picks the leaves up, it pushes those in the wind, and you can observe the wind invisible by looking at the visible. That's what God says here. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Everybody knows God is. Whether they are agnostic or atheist and claiming there's no such thing as an atheist, really. God says they're without excuse. And if God says it, who can argue with that? Now, they might pretend that he ain't, and they might convince themselves that they ain't. I heard a woman one time when I was watching a documentary about a plane crash, and they was up there, and they interviewed one of the survivors, and she said, let me tell you something. She said, there are no atheists in a plane crash. Everybody was praying to somebody. Yeah. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, got a lot of them today, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed fish and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through their lusts of their own hearts. Now we're getting into that heart. Now here come the affections. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Remember what he said about our bodies, how they're vile? Cover them up. That's why they're going back to the dirt, because they're vile. And the Lord said, God gave these these people that would not recognize him and wanted nothing to do with him turned the back and the shoulder and the heel up to him. He turned them over to vile affections. Okay, you want to be nasty? I'll let you be nasty. For God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So we're talking about affections that are unnatural, evil affections, the Lord said, vile affections. He gave them up to them. And they're not natural. They're unnatural. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't even want to think about God. They didn't want God in their minds. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Now, if you are without natural affection, then you are with unnatural affection, aren't you? Implacable. Unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, there you go, without excuse, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Kind of like spit in God's face and say, take that. I like it whether you say it's bad or not. And that's exactly the way people are today. It's gotten that bad that people not only resist God and don't want God in their mind or in their knowledge, but they blaspheme God. And they do these things before Him as if He cannot do anything about it. Evil affections can be unnatural, brothers and sisters. And the Bible teaches us that we ought to keep our hearts, keep them hearts. Don't let your heart make your affections unnatural. Our affections are to remain natural. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14, the Bible says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. There's some good evidence about how we can keep our hearts in the right way and be happy. The Bible says, happy is the man that feareth always. We decide whether we fear God or not. But he that hardeneth his heart, I just don't want to hear about God anymore. I've had enough of God. He that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Been there before, haven't you? Oh, we got to be so careful about that. So careful that our yearnings, our affections don't become unnatural. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 6 says, he that trusteth, 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. You say, well, how can I keep my heart if I can't trust it? You keep reins on it. You don't let it have its own mind. You walk wisely. And what is walking wisely? Having God's wisdom, having the Word of God in us is what makes us wise. Listening to the Word of God and heeding to the Word of God and fearing God and His Word. And that way we can conform our minds and our hearts in such a way to where they won't be foolish hearts. The Lord said, out of an evil heart comes evil treasure. Or something like that. I messed that up, but he said something like that. But out of an evil heart comes evil things. Out of a good heart comes good treasure, the Lord said. So see, every heart, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool who walketh, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. That's somebody that's walking as a fool and trusting their own heart, and evil stuff comes out of it. We got to be so careful, brothers and sisters. Evil characteristics of yearnings, our affections, evil affections can be unnatural. The Lord teaches us in His Word that there's natural and there is unnatural. It's right there. You can't miss it. He also tells us that He has put within each of us the ability to tell the difference. God says we're without excuse. He said He made the invisible things. He says that when we look at the things that are made, we can see and understand the invisible things. For the wind, like we was talking about. And there's many, many other. You can't see the thing that keeps you very alive. The breath that you breathe, you can't see it, but you know it's there. Take a breath. Did something happen? Did something enter into you? Did you suck some air in? How do you know? You can't see it. But you got evidence of it. You know it's there. It's invisible, but you know it's there because you're still breathing. You didn't fall over dead. Then the Lord teaches us that it is impossible, if we don't watch out, for our hearts to become darkened and turn away from the truth and become fools. After this, all kinds of evil will come into our lives. If we don't watch out and keep our hearts with all diligence and watch our affections and don't let our affections become unnatural. Now, it's hard because some of y'all got family and I understand all that. So do I. And so do others that have to deal with things like that. And it's going to get worse and worse as this stupid leaders that we have and this ungodly government and these people that just have booted God out of America and out of politics, out of everything, booted God out of it and said, you don't get to make a choice anymore. You don't even get a vote. And the Lord backed up and said, okay. And He took His hands off and look what's going on. The reason this country hadn't gone nuts, going nuts is not because the Lord was making everybody do good. It was that the Lord was protecting us from ourselves. And when we booted him, when they booted Him out, He took His hands off and is not protecting anymore. And everything that's going on is what sinners naturally do. It's kind of like whenever the rapture happens and God the Holy Ghost leaves from here. He leaves with us. He's within us. And when we leave, He's gone. And that's when the Antichrist steps in. And it's really going to get wacky then. Because there ain't going to be nobody resisting anything here. God the Holy Ghost is not going to be here to convict anybody of anything. The only reason it is the way it is because God the Holy Ghost is here. The Bible says, He that letteth will let. He that's hindering things and stopping things from happening, God the Holy Ghost, the righteousness of God, the Spirit of Jesus, is the one that's hindering things right now. But they kicked God out, told Him He can't be here no more, and they're persecuting and fixing to try to stay. They've been trying to take that Bible away from us and get God's Word away. And as soon as they do, they don't know. Well, they just self-destructing. They're committing suicide. You know, this is to include developing this thing about all kinds of evils going to come into our lives. This is including developing unnatural affections, things that we yearn and long for that are evil. And it's things that we should not long for naturally. Unnatural affections are things that we long for that are evil. Now, every one of us has some things that we have flesh, and we are sinners, and we have this flesh, and this flesh, there's no good thing in it, and it wants the nastiest, ungodliest, wickedest things that it can get. And if you introduce those things to it, it will not leave you alone. You're going to have to be surrendered to the Lord, and you and the Holy Ghost are going to have to work at some things to get them things to leave you alone if you introduce it to that flesh. The idea is, don't introduce anything evil as far as affections go. Don't let there be any evil affections come around or within you that you start desiring. Pass by it, turn away, walk away from it, and have nothing to do with it. Because once it gets in you, once your mind and your heart gets a hold of it, and your affections get a hold of it, it's going to take God's power to stop it then. And it's going to aggravate you to death. So some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. The idea is not to stop it right now. And any evil affections that you have in you that you're longing for, we pray about, we work on it, and we disregard it. When it comes up, we cast that thinking down. We cast it down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and submit to Him. And the Bible says the devil will flee. Sometimes the devil's right there on your shoulder all day long, reminding you of evil affections and lusts and things like that. And it takes resisting him, literally, and submitting to God, literally. And he'll run from you. He'll leave you alone for a time. And you can believe that or not, but have you tried it? I know. I'm not asking you whether it is. I'm asking you, have you tried it? The Lord said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Have you tried it? Try it and keep on trying it. And he will flee from the Word of God. He'll flee from the Word of God, and he'll flee from your resistance when you submit to the Lord. This is to include unnatural affections. Talking about becoming fools and all kinds of evil that will come into our lives. The Lord named it specifically in His Word for us to read it. In verse 31 there, it says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Don't ever say, well, I would never do or be anything like that. Our hearts are so wicked and us straying from God. When we stray from God's truth, from His Word, and we stop reading and we're not faithful to God anymore, just these little bitty things like that. Now, you're not that because you're studying and you're listening and reminding yourself right this very second of what God's Word says. And that helps you, and it makes you strong. And God, the Holy Ghost, uses that to help you. Now, our hearts are wicked, and us straying from God's truth, His Word, we are capable of heinous evils. Anything that the ungodly can do that you've heard, you can believe a Christian can do also. Yes, you can. One thing, when it comes to yearning and affections, is to keep them natural. Keep them natural. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody is saying that way, you have to think this way. No, you don't. No, you don't. You think the way God tells you to think. Now, they might make you to where you can't speak some things, but they can't make you stop having it in your heart and your affections. And especially in today, and the way this world's moving and going, you see it. Think of some other things that you know to be unnatural. Unnatural. Unnatural affections. Some unnatural things that your affections don't need to be affiliated with. Yeah. Unnatural affections. That's not all. Here's another one. Evil affections can be pretended. Pretended. You say, what? Yeah. Evil affections can be pretended. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 47 through 49, listen to this. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, this is Iscariot, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now, he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. Evil affections can be pretended. Judas pretended to love Jesus and that Jesus. Judas was the only one that called him Master, as a matter of fact, I think. Hail, Master. And kissed him. And kissed him. And the Lord said, listen what the Lord says. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before him and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, speaking to Judas, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Evil affections can be pretended. The Lord says that when we're pretending to have affections, whenever we pretend with some affections, they're evil. Now, here's probably one of the scariest statements that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke. He said that there's evil affections that are pretended. Pretended affections are evil. Look how the Lord responded to this pretended affection from Judas Iscariot. To pretend means to make believe. It not only means to make believe, but to make believe in order to deceive. Pretended affections are evil. That's why the Lord said that we should live in the truth. The very first thing that he said about the way that we ought to be thinking and think on these things is whatsoever things are true. Are true. There shouldn't be any affections in us toward others or any affections toward ourselves or any affections that we have that are fakety, fake, 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 fake. We should be people of truth because of who we are and who we represent. Our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we want to do the things that are pleasing in the sight of our Lord. And one of them is, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. We're not to be pretending with our affections, because the Bible teaches us that pretended affections are evil affections. Look at this verse here, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 8. It says, their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. The Bible says the tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, shows affection and shows affectionate words and everything else, but in his treasure chest, he's laying his weight. That should not be us, brothers and sisters. And we have to fight, and we have to watch out, and we have to keep our hearts from having any kind of that garbage in them. Amen? We are to be people of truth. And make sure that our affections, our proper affections, or the affections that are in us that are evil, that we're working to get them out of us, and asking the Lord and praying about them and praying with our brothers and sisters or just whatever it takes. We have the things that it takes that we don't have to have those. Jesus said, you could imagine, Jesus probably would have rather took a cussing from somebody than for what Judas did to him. He said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? You coming up here and pretending that you're affectionate towards me and kissing me and think that's fooling me? Why, you two-bit, with a kiss? That's just what Jeremiah said. He said, a neighbor speaketh peaceably with neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. And there's all the people behind him with staves and sticks. Come out there to beat Jesus' brains out. Took him to the cross and ripped his body all to pieces and bled him out on the cross. But little did they know he was doing that on purpose. Glory to God. That's not all. Not only are evil affections unnatural, and we should watch out for them, but evil affections can be pretended, and we sure don't want to be fakers, do we? No fake. No fakety fake. We're going to be people of truth and honor and dignity and walk before our Lord like that. But evil affections can be fleshly. Yeah, evil affections can be fleshly. Well, let's see what God's Word says about that. In Romans chapter 13, verse 12 through 14, the Bible says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If we ain't careful, brothers and sisters, we can have affections that will make provision for fleshly things. And we know that Paul taught us that there's no good thing in the flesh. Anything that's fleshly that comes from us is going to be wicked, and it's going to be nasty, and it's going to be ugly, and it's going to be harmful, it's going to be unnatural. It's the things that he mentioned right there, said for us to walk honestly. And we just got through talking about that. Not dishonestly, not fake. He said, let us walk honestly, as in the day, and not rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, always coveting, wanting something. Blah, 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 blah. You need this, you need that. And drunkenness and chambering and rioting and wantonness. And then in strife and envying. These are all of the flesh. These are works of the flesh. He said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Jesus said, if you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There's a difference in having lusts of the flesh and fulfilling lusts of the flesh. As long as you're in that body, you're going, and you have introduced something wicked to your flesh, and your flesh has had it one time or another, it's going to lust after it. Unless you completely shut it down from it, and it'll eventually lay down and leave you alone about it until you spark a fire about it again, and it'll come right back alive from the grave. But if you leave it alone long enough, your flesh will quit asking you for it. That's the truth now. A lot of y'all know that already. But evil affections can be fleshly. Now, here's one area that we can without a doubt know that the affections that we have are evil. If the affection is catering to the flesh, it is evil. The Lord has made provision. The Lord's made provision in all ways for us to provide for the needs of the body in a clean and upright manner. If your flesh wants to be with a man or wants to be with a woman, and I'm talking naturally now, then you need to marry. Paul gave us, the Bible provides for that. If you burn, marry. And then you won't have to worry about committing fornication or adultery. And just things like that. Now, the Lord made provision in all the ways for us to provide the needs of the body in a clean and upright manner where we don't offend the Lord. And we don't cater to the flesh in an evil way or a fleshy way. We still wear this flesh, and this flesh has needs, yes. But the Lord made upright ways and upright manners for us to provide for those needs. There's a difference in having the necessities needed for the body and providing for the lust that the flesh wants and craves. There's a difference, and it's in the affections. If your affections are right and upright, you'll do what's necessary in order to have what the body needs without sinning. You'll do it the way the Lord says to do it, and in the manner that the Lord says to do it. But if not, then, and you're providing for the lusts of the flesh, then that's exactly what it is. You know, at no time should a Christian trust his or her affections of the flesh. The flesh will turn a pure affection into a lust and cause us to sin. You say, where does it say that? In James. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, listen to this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So if you're lusting after something, it's not coming from the Lord. God doesn't tempt us to do evil. But every man is tempted evil with evil and wickedly when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, you take part of it, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And here's his advice to us. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't err. Or some of y'all say err. Don't do it. Don't participate. Turn from it. Pass away. Evil affections can be fleshly. That's not all. Here's another one. Evil affections can be worldly. Now, you know what the enemies of our soul are? The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the three things the devil offered the Lord, tempted him with, remember? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, this is Paul. He says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia." In the eternal word of God, one man was mentioned for forsaking Paul. Now, you can imagine what an honor and boy, if you was going to run around with Paul, you was going to have some times there. But this man didn't leave because of some of the persecution that he might have been getting off of Paul or some of the, there was wonderful things that people that followed Paul and went with Paul, like Brother Luke and Timothy and several of the other ones that went with him. But the ones that went with Paul, they got to see miracles. They got to see wonderful things done and the Lord's work and many people getting saved. But they also got to him and Silas, they also got beatings too. And they got beat up like Paul got beat up. Demas, he didn't leave for that reason. Paul said he forsook him. And why? Because having loved this present world, his affections were not with Paul and with the things of the Lord. They were with the world and the world system and what the world had to offer rather than what Jesus had to offer through Paul's ministry. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17, the Bible says, this is the Lord talking, he said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." He said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." That includes everything that you own, or you don't own anything, you possess it. The Bible doesn't use the word own. It uses the word possess. It's in your possession. Kind of like your house and your car and everything else that's financed. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust..." It didn't say you wasn't saved. It said you wasn't following the love of the Father that's in you. It didn't have first place in you. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." The Lord, God the Father does not in any time provoke us to lust in our flesh, to lust with our eyes, or to be proud of this life. "The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof." It's all going bye-bye. The Lord's going to burn it all. "And the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You'll walk with the Lord. You'll walk right along in fellowship with the Lord forever. But Demas forsook the Lord, or forsook Paul. And why? Loving the world. His affections. The Lord said, "Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth." Now, would the Lord tell us these things if it were not true? Of course not. It is true. And whenever you get to walking with the Lord and you start putting away these things and the world becomes of less interest to you and to your affections, you'll start finding out that the Lord is true. The Lord is right about that, because you can live without the world. You have to use the world, but not abusing the world, Paul said. Not letting it get into your walk or your relationship with the Lord. Now, it's apparent to us that these yearnings can be so powerful that they can cause us to pick to love something worldly above the love of Christ. Demas was one of the few that was around the Apostle Paul. There wasn't that many that got to be around Paul as far as being on his side. Demas was one of the few that was around the Apostle Paul, and when he had to make a choice, he chose the world. The world is a dangerous attraction for the Bible believer and should never, ever be toyed with. We're not given a suggestion to love not the world, but a command. It was a command. He said, if you want to, love not the world. I'm suggesting to you, love not the world. No, it came head on, face to face. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Very important for our affections, because your affections can be worldly. They can be worldly. Now, this is probably one of the most difficult for the believer to fight today with all this billboard and outrageous, flagrant, in-your-face, God-rejecting, defiant sinning going on. Worldly affections are not only dangerous evil, but deadly. They're not only dangerously evil, but they're deadly. We need to watch out. Watch out, brothers and sisters. Watch out. You don't need that stuff. Your flesh wants it, but you don't need it. It's not a necessity in your life. It's not something that you have to have. You can live in this world and have joy and have a good life, walking with the Lord, and not have that garbage in your life. Talking about our affections and some evil characteristics of yearning. Evil characteristics of our affections. Evil affections can be unnatural. If we have unnatural affections, we need to turn them to natural. Period. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God keeps His promise every time we come to Him in honesty and sincerity and tell Him, Lord, I have to do with this. My affections are evil in this matter, and I'm going to turn away from that and forsake it and turn to You, and I need Your help. And the Lord will forgive you for it. He'll cleanse you from it and take away the guilt, and He will, and from then on, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Amen? That's what's wonderful about God's forgiveness when you're sincere and true to Him and walking with Him and you really mean it. The Lord will come and do His part. He will. He will. Evil affections can be pretended. Let's not be fakes. Let's not be fakers. And evil afflictions can be fleshy. When we let our flesh, this stinking, rotten, vile thing that we're stuck in until the Lord lets us out of it, they can be fleshly. Let's not let our flesh rule our affections. And evil affections can be worldly. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there and just carry on the next lesson, because there's a little bit more that we need to talk about concerning this matter of evil affections. So let me give you these scriptures right quick. And I know you do, but be sure to read over them whenever you have time after these lessons also, because then the Lord will take them and solidify everything that you've heard and have in memory, instead of the devil being able to rob that from you, you nail it down with the Word of God. Just go back over and read these scriptures again, and it'll just put everything in there. You know what I mean? Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47 through 49. Luke chapter 22, verse 47 and 48. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 through 14. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And where we stop today is 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And we'll come back and on the next recording and continue with our study of affections, yearnings, and see what our Bible has to say about some more of these evil affections and what they are and how they affect us and how we need to control them. And we need to get God's help to control them and God the Holy Ghost to be in control of our affections. So good study, huh? Amen. A lot of truth. Praise God. And that's one thing I want you to notice about these. I'm not telling you, I mean, I agree with God's word 100%, and I try to conform my life to that. And I am going to, and I'm going to continue to go to. But, and I know you do. But, I'm not telling you what I think. We are talking about what God's Word says, because that's what we've done mostly in these studies, is read God's Word. And that's what the Lord is pleased with, is us reading His Word and talking about these issues. Amen? That's the way Bible study is supposed to be. It's not to get in there and say, what does God say? And then we go from there, and we know. I mean, is there any confusion about anything that we've talked about in this study so far? Absolutely not. Why? Because we know what God says about it. You see? And we're willing, and we're of a willing mind and a willing heart, and we want to know what God says about it, and we want to conform to the image of His Son. We want to be what the Lord wants us to change about ourselves, don't we? We sure do. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I appreciate you and love you with Christ's love. Thank you so much for joining in today. And I'll see you on the next one. Or not see you, but talk to you. I see you spiritually. Our spirits bear witness that we are the sons of God. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.